like a broke down engine, an empty cup, a dying city, a losing team. I need another dream.
His mom was a blues singer. His dad played jazz guitar. And in the seventh grade, he formed his first band and began touring the country by age 17. That's journeyman bluesman James Armstrong with Another Dream. It's from his 1995 album, Got It Going On. Incidentally, 2 years later, a home invasion almost cost him his life. It caused permanent nerve damage to his arm and playing hand and took more than 2 years of rehab to just get back in gear. But he did, and he has continued his music. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And, well, you know, the saga that is the Trump administration continues. Word today that Trump's chief of staff, Jesus, General John Kelly, stated that when the president made his pronouncements about the wall, his recent pronouncements about the wall and other immigration changes that were coming, he was speaking from an uninformed point of view. Well, it's an interesting thing that the chief of staff would take a diametrically opposing opinion from his boss. So the way I read that is that any day now, Trump will let him go as well. Well, what do you know? This is just... It continues. It continues. The craziness continues. And of course, just days after the so-called S-hole controversy, Trump makes a definitive move to ban Haitians altogether from applying for even low-skilled work visas that were allowed beginning in 2012. These were visas that have been historically provided to people who wish to come to the United States. They will work in lower-tiered jobs that American workers wouldn't want to take. This was a major part of the economy in places like Canada and the United States, where the agricultural workers and so forth would take advantage of these visas, and they would come to these countries and work in these very low-tiered positions, and then afterwards return home. But the United States, as of yesterday, has taken Haiti off of that program, as well as other countries, not just Haiti, countries like Samoa, Belize. You're getting the drift? Are you? Yes, they're mostly black and brown countries, and they're off the map. The interesting thing is, I wonder how this would affect Trump's Mar-a-Lago and other so-called resort properties, because it seems as if that's all he employs, people who basically are on the lower rung of the economic ladder. But, you know, today we're not going to talk too much about Trump, because Trump is just a continuum of a racial and racist pattern of life in the United States that has been in place for centuries now. He's just a modern day expression of it. And what is increasingly interesting about Donald Trump is the ease with which he and his supporters, I mean, they revel in the idea of bringing these offensive ideas and ways of living, bringing them back and making them central to life, everyday life in the United States. So today we're going to discuss one question. It's predicated on a simple idea. Are we clear about what's happening in America? And if so, what, therefore, are we compelled to do? Now, it may seem a bit redundant and may seem even crazy to raise this question. But I raise the question because it appears that we are having some trouble with clarity. We seem to have some confusion. And when you have confusion, you have a problem with cohesive action. You have a problem with consciousness raising. We seem to have a problem. And it is multidimensional. Yes, people would say it's about Trump, but it really isn't, is it? It is about the philosophical undergirding. We seem not to be clear about it. And from what I've been hearing these past several months, it's soon going to be exactly a year since the new administration has stepped in. So it is not just about that. It's about beyond Trump. In the scheme of things, Trump is really not the central argument here. We're talking bigger than him. Even he can't imagine anything bigger than him. But we should be clear that it's bigger than him. It's not him alone. We seem to be having some difficulty with our clarity. And you know, this is a word, it's one of my favorite words. I like clarity about things. I like being clear about the things that should concern me. Because when you're clear about certain things, you move differently in the world. You have a different perspective. You're not easily malleable. You're not easily influenced. They can't trick you to do this or to run there or to hold this opinion. They can't succeed doing these things when you have clarity. But we don't have clarity, it seems. At least not to the extent that we ought to, if we are going to have a coalition of effort working and fighting against a system. So I'm going to ask you, are you clear about what's happening in America? Tell me what makes you so clear about it. And if you believe you have some degree of clarity about what's going on in America, what, therefore, from your perspective, your point of view, are we compelled to do? Simple question. So let's begin. I'll take your calls at 888-874-4888. Tell me pretend the rest of us just fell out of the sky and landed here. We don't know anything. But you have clarity about something about this country. And there is something that informs your opinion about it. And because you have clarity about it, you can now share with us what you think we are compelled to do about it. Simple. A simple question. This is not complicated at all. You know, we tend to overcomplicate things. We tend to think things are just, they're just so complex that it would take another 2 to 3 centuries to figure it out. No, it's quite clear. From my point of view, it's very clear. This is not supposed to take another decade, another century, another lifetime to figure out. We have all we need to arrive at a reasonable interpretation or assessment of the lay of the land. We don't need anybody telling you anything. You have a brain in your head. You have eyes that you can see. You have an intellect to analyze a situation. You tell me. Let's start with Orville from Brooklyn. What is happening in America, Orville? Tell me.
Good afternoon, you trees.
Thank you, and good afternoon to you.
I believe that that the American public, we are lying to ourselves, and that everything is very clear. It should be extremely clear. Nothing has really changed. I think they're the basics. I think you have discovered some of the things yourself by what you've told us over the years in terms of your own personal health concerns, the things that you've experienced. And when you just look at health itself, that you were told there was nothing else for you. Basically, you were supposed to spend all this money, which I'm almost positive you did in terms of your insurance, and spend all this time and heartache and things like that. And it seems you likely could be dead if you had followed through with what the medical establishment said was so. And through some reasonable choices and changes, you are here and vital. And I would miss you. I'm sure lots of people would miss you. And, you know,
you would miss me.
Yes, I would miss you. I would need you. I think a need to a certain extent is because of what you do, who you are. And even this the program that you have here would not be here. And it's vital.
But if you were to look at the large picture, if you were to summarize the big picture here, what would you present to anybody wanting to know what the experience of America means through your eyes? How would you explain it?
Did you say means? Did you say means or needs? Well, you're breaking up. Excuse me. I'm sorry. So I haven't heard what you said in a little bit.
So
but let me just.
I'm saying, how would you explain the big picture of what is happening in America?
That the country is dying, and people are profiting from it, and people don't want to know. People are making excuses, because even the people who say they are looking to help, they are part of the problem because they know themselves. Like, for instance, let me just give you. I'm not taking too much of your time and not being clear. For instance, I know people who I've assisted over the years, and he's come to me and he said, you know, I've changed his life so much, and he's just so happy and thankful for me in his life, with his family, his children, his wife, everything like that, and his own personal health. And I said to him, I said, you know, after all this time, I said, you know, the thing that you're doing in the hospital is actually killing people. And he got very upset. And he just stopped calling for a long period of time. I didn't take it too personally. I let him work it out. And then he called me back a couple of months later, where he used to call me almost every day. And he says, you know, you're right. You're right about everything. And he was very upset, but, you know. And then he said, but what do you want me to do? I have a wife and children. I have a family. And what he's doing, he knows, he's researched it, is actually killing people. But he does a lot of overtime. And, you know, he's a part of the problem because he's working in an institution and benefiting from it. And he knows very, very clearly that he's hurting people and he's actually participating in the killing of people. But he's not going to stop.
All right. Well, you gave us a specific. I'm hoping we could start there. But I'm hoping in the calls that we're about also to hear, I want to get from the big picture to the small and not the other way around, not from the small to the big, but what is the big picture and what are we interpreting from the big picture? But you got to start it today.
In terms of what we should do, can I ask you, give me two more minutes. In terms of what we should do, I think given what we see and know, we need to start to educate ourselves differently. We need to interact with ourselves on a different level. In terms of education, we should be educating ourselves. We should be living together in terms of community, which you talk about on a regular basis from BAI days. In terms of work, a lot of us, we spend money frivolously. We are part of the problem. So in terms of Mississippi, Jacksonville, what is going on there, I think people should look at those kinds of things, move to those places and work cooperatively. And dismiss all the lies and the participation of killing ourselves. Basically, we're killing ourselves, the planet, from the environment, every single thing you can look upon, from the education, from history. People go to school and spend lots of money getting degrees on history. They go and do health, and they get degrees, and they participate in the system. So I think we really need to stop, step back, and begin to take care of ourselves on our own, because we can do much, much better if we started to just create communities and worked independently on ourselves and for
ourselves.
Okay,
thank you. Thanks for getting us started today. What I'm hoping for us to do today, the work before us today, is to kind of discuss what is the big picture. If you were to talk to somebody who has never been to the United States, who doesn't understand what's going on here, including people who already are here, how would you explain our current experience and condition? What would be an easier way to interpret our current reality? Alex from New Jersey, what is your take?
Hey, Patrice, this is Alex. I'm also with the NDC Savings Club. It's been a while.
Thank you. Alex, it's Utrice, U-T-R-I-C.
Utrice, sorry.
I have gotten so many versions of my name, but I understand. No problem. Now, how would you explain this condition called America?
Okay, here's how it is. It's history, and the bottom line comes down to if you had aliens from another world, another planet, another solar system, whatever it is, another universe or whatever, they come here, look at our system, they can look at our history as humankind. And then through humankind, recent humankind, you can see that every great culture has been destroyed, everything within itself. Like if you look at the Ottoman Empire, you look at the Greek Empire, you look at very recently the Roman Empire, it has been destroyed from within and uses greed and destruction. So basically, we here in the United States, we are empire. We have over 1,000 bases all over the world, surrounding the rest of the world, and that's empire. You had the Spaniard Empire, and you had all these empires that finally collapsed from within. So then you can judge it from that history. Now, saying that, that's the overall picture. So you can look at history and see what has happened, and this is in the midst of collapse, like an empire. We're changing over to other empires right now. And what I'm saying is that people now, they all came to this land of opportunity back in the late 1800s, mainly in the 1900s, for opportunity. And there was opportunity here. And it went good for 60, 70 years or so. And what I'm saying as a solution, so I'm saying the overall picture, and now I'm saying the solution. The solution is that we're all immigrants here. The only real people here are probably the Native American Indians, which you see how many there are left. We never even know of any or have met any. So that goes to show you what was left in this country, which is called the United States of America. And basically, we're all immigrants. So the solution to it is for us immigrants, and it's happening more and more, people are going back to our countries. And for me, my point of view is that that's where the opportunity will be. So as everyone came to this country for opportunity, for my thing is to leave this empire and go back to our country with all our knowledge and stuff and give back that opportunity. And from within that, we can start making those countries which they're open to for a greater opportunity for those other countries. So we're all trying to make something that's broken ain't going to get fixed. So that's my.
But you know, I'm curious as to how you date. You start your date of importance in the 1800s.
Well, that's when you had more travel. You had more boats. We came up with more technology in about.
But that's been going on since the 1600s.
I know, but masses of people. For masses of people to come. Yes, we had travel. We had probably had traveling all the way back 1,000 years ago. So again,
okay.
You know, there's
and then you said that. You made reference to the Native American Indians. It was Christopher Columbus who was a bit confused. He thought
yes,
he
yes.
had reached India and
well, no,
decided that the people here, therefore, would be Indians.
No, but again, it's all opportunity. More transportation, more boats, and as the 1800s came to be to the late 1800s to the beginning of the 1900s, that's where all the immigrants came to this country. And by the way, let me say this. The immigrants that came to this country, they're the smart people. They're the older spirits that came to this country. You know, I hate to say it, but there's older spirits and younger spirits. Again, that's within us.
But all those spirits that came with guns.
Huh?
All the spirits that you're talking about, except for the enslaved, came with guns and cannon and whatnot to kill off people they never met.
No. That's one aspect of it. A lot of them were entrepreneurial.
But that's the aspect of it. The aspect of the experience is the country is not generally recognized as being valid until the invasion of Europeans. And they invaded for a specific reason. They came to basically drive the people they would meet.
Correct.
Just stamp them out.
Yeah, but again, that's in 1500, 1600, 1700. I'm saying that the people that came here, the workers, the people that made this country, it was in the late 1800s to the 1900s.
Oh, no. I have to challenge you on that.
They
the people who
here,
made this country.
No. Once they made it, of course, I'm saying the entrepreneurial, the people that made this country came in the late 1800s with more transportation.
Let me explain. The people that you're talking to, whether you categorize them as industrialists or people of the land, they, quote, made this country on the backs of other people.
Oh, yeah, of course. I'm not denying that. No, I, of course.
But that's,
there was a
this
foundation.
Is important for you to include. Gerald Horn, the historian, reminds us that the average, in the Caribbean, the average sugar cane plantation owner was 10 times wealthier than the wealthiest industrialist in Britain.
All right. All right, let me rephrase it then. It would be regular people in the late 1800s and the 1900s. These are the Irish, these are the Italians, these are people that came, already had a built foundation on the backs, yes, of all kinds of horrors. But that foundation was already built. So then the immigrants came, which we all know of, ourselves, our parents and their parents and stuff. The mass poor people that were in other countries, it would be in Ireland, it would be in Europe, it would be in Spain, all over the world, they came over here and they started making a life for themselves because that was the opportunity, and they were able to get on ships and stuff and planes to get here and start
but
building.
But you need now to read a book I'm going to highly recommend to you. It's called How the Irish Became White. When the first whites came to the United States, there were no white people here.
Yeah, but again, I'm trying to get to the point that...
But you're missing very important context. And your point of where you start historically is itself a point of contention. You can't just arbitrarily start in the 1800s and erase about 400 to 500 years of hostile contact.
That's history. And again,
don't say that. It's not history. It is part of the evolution of the question that we're dealing with today.
What's happening today has a
context.
And again, I guess, all right, let's go mid history. All right, which is the 1890s. What I'm saying with the immigrants came, they started building what we consider America, and it was a land of opportunity, and everybody from all over the world came to this country with stuff that was built on the back of a whole bunch of the better American Indians and everyone else, the blacks, and everyone got it was built. Now, the immigrants came over here.
I am saying no. It's not.
Okay, fine.
You are dismissing centuries.
Oh, again,
relevant history that you just wrapped up or choose to wrap up in two sentences, and even so, without proper context.
But your question
this is not
again.
This is not history. Well, it's also again. The history of the people you describe, for example, as immigrants. You describe as immigrants.
All right. The question was
of the people who came with them were slaves. Right. Two different classifications.
All right. The question was that what would aliens or people never saw this country again, they can go back to history and of course all the horrors and stuff, how they built history was built and stuff, but they can look back and see empire being just falling apart, much like I mentioned, the Roman Empire, the Greek Empire, Ottoman Empire. They all fall apart. We here in the United States, that's what's happening to us. We as an empire is falling apart. The people that came to this country for opportunity, all I'm just saying the solution is that for having these people, which were all immigrants, and we have family and people from other parts of the world, the solution for me is to go back to these countries and go back.
All right, let me just say this to you. The use of the word empire, what we glorify as the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire, other European so-called empires, when you study history, you see the direct link between these so-called empires and the hostile acts committed against other people from whom they borrowed heavily philosophy, culture, ways of life, agricultural techniques, and so forth. Yeah. The average Roman slave was far more educated than his conqueror. And where did they go to study? in Alexandria that was performing open heart surgery and studying the concept of absolute zero and the cosmology of the world. I mean, we cannot just say, well, okay, that was history. No.
You can research the history and go into all the details of it. I'm just specifying very simple fact. This is United States Empire. We're falling apart. All the immigrants that came here made this continuous empire is falling apart. Or I'm just saying that people here in America should start considering going back to other countries where their origins were and bring back all their knowledge so they can build something that is more favorable. Because over here, everything is already set up to fall, and it will continue to keep falling. That's all.
Well, let's see what people are thinking of your opinion today, but thank you so much for participating.
Thank you.
Patricia from New York, you're on the air. Are you clear about what's happening in America? And if so, what do you feel compelled to do? Patricia is not online. Okay. She'll call again soon. David from Brooklyn, are you clear about what is happening in America?
Good afternoon, you trees.
Hello.
And I want to be redundant. I think that I'm going to try to answer your question about the aliens came here and what would you describe as going on. Now, I would describe to these aliens that we live in a geographical location called the continental United States, and we have a system, economic system, called capitalism imperialism. I'd explain that. And I'd explain to them that this is a system that is designed to benefit a small class of people, not the masses of people who create the wealth in this system by working on land and using the resources of the air. And this system is called capitalism. And the only way that this can go on like that, where it benefits the few, is to manipulate the people. Now, I think I'm redundant, but I have to be, because the people have to learn that the only way this system stays in place is by divide and conquer. So that is a major part of the system analysis that everyone has to understand this system. And the major part of that is something invented, and Theodore Allen brings that out quite well in his book with Jeff Perry and so forth, white supremacy racism, as you know, which started here and is in full effect. And this disease called white supremacy racism affects all the people and has the people so confused they don't understand the system they're living in and how it benefits the ruling class to the extent where it's on steroids now, and the people are getting poorer and poorer and the ruling class is getting richer and richer. So we have a tremendous problem of explaining that. Most people have no understanding, and they keep going along with the people who run the system, and they don't get it. You can't expect the enemy to teach you what he's doing, but he's doing such a fine job of having all its victims fight among each other on the basis of a he's a living a wonderful life for himself, the ruling class, the oligarchs and plutocrats at the top, and getting richer and richer. I mean, it's been very clear. The economists have shown us that people are getting poorer and poorer. The real income of people is going down. The wealth is going down. People have to understand that this system of white supremacy, racism, and all the things that they do to divide all the people advantageous for themselves at the top. That's what I would explain to that alien. Now, if we want to change this, you know, some of the things that are mentioned previous.
Somebody's trying to get you, David. Somebody's trying to get you. Okay. Well, he made a point in describing his understanding of what's happening in America. Let's see what you think. Tony from Orlando. How would you say, hello, are you clear about what's happening in America today?
Yes. I want to just go back to the dawn of man. As science has, we all know that the human race was began in the continent of Africa. But yet, throughout the thousands and thousands of years that the human race has existed, we've separated into the different races that exist today.
All right, well, hold on, because I think you're a little bit off. I want you to center on the question that is asked. Are you clear about what is happening in America?
Well, yes, it's technology. Well, what I was trying to get to the point was that as the technology in the world, whether it be the naturally created technology called the Bering Strait, which formed the land bridge and allowed Eurasian descendants, cross and come into the Americas over 15,000 years ago, or whether it was the technology that the Europeans used to create weapons to kill each other and eventually come and sail to the new continent and
all right, Tony, I have to interrupt you because you're starting at a point that we cannot productively engage with you on because you're several thousand years in the past. The question was meant to bring you into the here and now.
Okay. Well,
how are you interpreting the reality that we are sharing in the United States today? Are you clear about today what it is?
Yes, because like I said, whether it was from thousands of years ago, hundreds of years ago during the slavery times in America, whether it was 100 years ago during the time that your buddy, the other guy, Alex, called in and said that immigrants came to America, immigrants are still coming into America as of today. The difference is that what type of immigrants are coming into America? See, before, like you said, you had the Irish, the Italians, okay? As those new immigrants came in, they were ostracized. They were treated badly by the current people living in this country. Now, you talked about something about the how the Irish became the first whites in America, or something like that.
No, it says how the Irish became white.
Yes. Now, if you look at today,
Here's the thing. I want us to kind of focus here. I'm not interested in going any broader than your understanding of where we are now. What do you understand America to be right now?
What's happening right now is that due to technology, due to globalization, you have a different type of immigrant entering into the United States. Now, the current people of this country feel threatened by these people because they're different, okay? just like the Italian Americans were treated badly 100 years ago. But people in America tend to forget how they were treated when they first came here. So like what's happening with the Muslim community, the Latino community, the Haitian community, these people are being treated differently than, let's say, Irish. See, the Irish and the Italians have already been melted into this melting pot that we call the United States. Yet me, I'm a Hispanic American. Just by looking at my last name, you will say, well, where are you from? I will say, well, I was born in the United States. The second question that comes after that is, well, where are your parents from? You see, if you're an Asian, a Latino, an Arab, you're never fully accepted as an American today in today's America. You understand what I'm saying?
All right. Okay. I'm appreciating where you're going. It's slightly off from where we ought to be going. We're not discussing immigration. We're discussing America as a system. And
well, the system, okay. While
immigration is important, we're not discussing immigration per se. We're discussing what is this system? I think so far, David from Brooklyn got a handle on this answer, in which he discusses or discussed a system.
System.
What do you understand
today,
this system to be?
Okay, the system today is two-party rule. You have Democrat and Republican. Now, we're a pendulum in this country. People in this country are mostly centrist. When Bill Clinton was president, this country was humming. Everybody was happy. Okay, because Bill Clinton was a centrist president. Now, what happened when Barack Obama became president, without him doing it, just because of the fact that he was black, all of the racist forces in this country suddenly rose up, okay, and started dividing this nation. That's why I go back to race. Okay, because it
all right. We'll leave it there for the minute. Here's what I'm going to say. We will obviously have to continue the discussion tomorrow, because I don't think we understand what the question calls us to do. I'm not interested in politics. What we are discussing is much bigger than that. We're not discussing immigration. What we are supposed to be discussing is far greater than that. No question that both politics and immigration have a space within this argument. But I'm asking for a very general, though very pointed, discussion on what do you understand the system to be? You can't tell me the system is about Democrats and Republicans. That's not the system. What is this system of life that we're all enmeshed in? What sense do we make day to day of the system? And you see where we are. We don't have clarity about it. And we are allowing ourselves to be corralled in false arguments. It's not about what people's political philosophies are about. It's about what is this scientifically designed system that rules all life in America, regardless of your political affiliation or your personal philosophy. What we are attempting to discuss here is whether we understand this system. And we don't. Because if we understood the system, you'd get an answer in no time at all. We could figure this out. But the fact is, we don't understand it. We only think we do. And this is why this is so exciting to me. Because we generally believe we have a grip on this thing called the system. Except when we start getting close to the subject, closer and closer into the subject, you see how far off from the target we are. We find ourselves discussing things that really aren't germane to the basic fundamental issue of what is the system? What is it? All right, let's try Ali from New York. Ali, what do you understand is happening in America today?
My professor, I don't know if I'm going to have an answer.
But give it a good try. I mean, This is the whole point. Give it a try.
Because when I called, I actually didn't listen to what David had to say because I was doing something else. And I understood at the beginning you were talking about what you will tell somebody who decided to come into this system, into this country. Right. That's what I understood the question was supposed to be. But now I just listened to you and you wanted to know something a little bit, I think, different. But to me, you have to understand the system. What kind of system do we live? And one of the things that I will have to say about that is, first of all, the system that is set up in this country is against certain part of the population. And if you take, for example, housing, redlining, and then another one is education. The system is set up against a group of people and a group of people only to benefit another group of people. So I see this system that is set up that is coming to an end. It's coming to an end because I think some of us, not all of us, we have known about the system, but now I think there's other group. Other people are seeing what is being done to them, that it has been done to all of us. So I don't know if I'm answering your question. But
you're doing fine.
So the system is set up, like I said, against a group of people to benefit other people. I know that the people that have been talking about the Irish and the Italian, but the system at that time was set up against them. Then these people, they came up as white people because they make the move. But people like us, our complexion, I don't think they would make the same move for us because they're looking for just one group of people. I don't think we will get to that ladder because how the system is set up, unless, and I think the system is coming to an end. Hmm. I don't know if it's going to be good for us, but I know it's coming. It's doomed. I think it's doomed because we are looking at another country of their advancement and how they're advancing and how we're falling behind. And because of the system is set up for just one group and actually for one class, because the group that they had set up that they brought to that ladder, they brought it up. They're coming down with us. So I don't know if I answered your question, but
I think you did very, very well. If I were to be able to push you a little bit more, I would ask you a question about these groups. What differentiated these groups, one from the other, and both compared against the larger group? How is it that they were able to end up in positions of power and others not?
Well, the first thing that I would have to say is assimilation. When a lot of us, we come here, we can't assimilate to this American way of life. These are the people, they came here, and they did everything. And you said they came with guns. So they came with a purpose. I don't think people like us have come here with the same purpose as them. They came to steal the land, to possess whatever the people that they were here before them. They came with the slave. And by the way, to that gentleman, Eric Williams' book, Capitalism and Slavery, is a good book to read. I'm reading it now. So if you see what these people came and the purpose, it's completely different of the new group that had come after. And the reason that they moved this group up, even though they came as poor as a lot of us, is because of their complexion. And remember, for us, we always going to be the same complexion. It doesn't matter what we do. We can't take our skin off. These people, they came on the right complexion, and that is the reason that they have been able to move up. For us, is you are brown and black. You can't change. You will still be there. So it had been very, very hard. Even if you move up with money, you still are looked at the same way. And then if you look at those other groups, it has been different. Look, in New York, they put these Irish people in the police department. Why? To stop the crime that they were committed. With us, it's a completely different story. They're building prisons and jail to put us in. So I don't think right now there's too many of that complexion that they wanted, like Trump said, are coming in here, because they know there's nothing for them here. Yes, there's a lot of us are still coming here for different reasons, but I don't think it's the same reason that people came back then. And like you said, they came with gun and they came with a purpose. So it's completely different.
Well, I tell you, you just reversed the roles here today. You are the professor today. You were right on. I think we could embellish it a little bit more. But what you certainly are leading up to, and you laid the case out comprehensively, I think. But we need, where you started today is where we need to start this conversation about whether we are clear about what is happening in America. We tend to say, yes, we are clear because Trump did this and Congress did that. It has nothing to do with where we ought to be in terms of understanding the connections between what we think is happening and, in fact, the antecedent to it. And in doing so, we will discover something that we cannot afford to set aside in our understanding of what is happening in America today. It is an evolution, but an evolution of what? A set of principles, quote unquote, because they're really not principles, but in terms of a belief system. It is an evolution of the understanding of class, who belongs to what class, what is going to be the relationship. It is an evolution of the whole idea of governing and governance. Who is to govern? Who is to be governed? All these things we now will dig into in order to answer this question, whether we're clear about what's happening in America today. And that's why you just can't start from 5 years ago or from the Nixon administration. You have to appreciate the continuum. And that's where we have an almost fatal flaw, I think. And that is that we don't pay attention to the historical facts that are clearly linked to our present. And once we start this discussion, we can now understand what our roles as activists ought to be. We're not going to be operating in a vacuum. We will have a very good point of reference. That means we are done. So tomorrow is Free Your Mind Friday. We will continue the discussion tomorrow. I thank you all for your very, very considered thoughts today. We'll continue tomorrow. Stay tuned. Coming up next is Expanding Mind with Eric Davis. Bye-bye.